a pleasure to bring God's word to you today. I am so thankful for the opportunity to Pastor Daniel. I love to hear him preach or even catch up on his messages when I'm in Sunday school. Yeah, and today I am in that shoe, so thank you very much. I know Pastor Daniel is there. Thank you so much. Today we are in our Advent series, and we are considering the theme of hope. Shall we bow down our heads as we pray? Father in heaven, we give you praise and glory for today, for your great love with which you have loved humanity, Lord, by sending us your only Son, Jesus, that through him the whole world will be reconciled with you. We give you thanks for this moment. Lord, I pray that your word will have a free course this morning. Enter hearts and minds and work deeply in our hearts, Holy Spirit, as you speak your word to your children this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So last week, Pastor Daniel led us, we opened the season of Advent with the theme of hope, and we got to know that, as you know already, Jesus is the source of hope. He is our hope. And on this foundation, we stand. And today we are considering the theme of peace. Thank you so much for the reading. That was very beautiful. Yeah, and peace, like you heard in the reading, as the world defined peace, freedom from disturbance or an absence of war, conflict, or tension. And that is what everyone deeply desires. We all desire peace. So on the individual level, community-wise, as a nation, as the world in general, we are all longing for peace. And international bodies, we see in the midst of conflict, tensions, and war among nations, they try as much as they can to do some mediations and put measures in place to bring about peace, to resolve conflict and tension. But we know that this peace that is in the world, or we seek, is the kind that fluctuates. It's not permanent. It's we have peace today, tomorrow we don't have that peace. But the biblical peace that we're talking about, as we heard in our reading, is the shalom. And as it was defined, I say again, it is the wholeness of life, completeness, mean health, safety, harmony, prosperity. And in his book, Not the Way It's Supposed to Be, Cornelius Plantinga defined it this way. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight, a rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed, a state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its creator and savior opens door and welcomes the creatures in whom he delights. Shalom, in other words, is the way things ought to be. And Paul defines this peace in Philippians 4:16, that it is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Praise the Lord. This is the realm of peace that God wants to welcome all of us into. And it is so because humanity's problem, at the core of it, is separation from God. So the tension, the conflict, this, and all that we face is as a result of the fact that God's creation has been separated from him as a result of the fall. So God sought for a way to bring us back to himself. So in Christ, God provided shalom in every area that the fall has brought death, division, conflict, and to meet humanity's greatest need, reconciliation with God. And the Jews were expecting a Messiah to come, because it was prophesied in the time of old that the Messiah will come. And their view of the Messiah coming is the one who will come and bring them out of oppression, bring them out of this tension. But Jesus showed up in an unexpected way. Thanks be to God. As we remember today, God sent us a Savior. And as we read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Someone shout, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. By the birth of Jesus Christ, God came into our human space. He dwelt among us. And that opens the door. And the Prince of Peace came into our space to bring us into the shalom of God. And to me, this is a wondrous story. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, we heard the angels suddenly when Jesus was born. Scripture says that a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." So the birth of Jesus marked a moment in human history where the favor of God met with humanity. A moment of divine favor and hope for peace on the earth. Our text today, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. I want to read that quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. Says that, "Therefore remember that formerly, you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hand. Remember that at that time you were separate from God, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by his blood. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. The text that we just read, in this text, Paul was addressing the Gentile believers, and he called them to remembrance, contrasting their formal and strange position with their new place in the church, the place that Christ, by his sacrifice, had brought them. So before they met Jesus, before they came to Christ, they were outside any relationship with God. They were without God. They were without a Messiah. They were outside the covenant promises. They were strangers to God's promises. They were subject to God's wrath, had no hope without God. They were living without regard for God. And this is true for everyone who is not in Christ. Without hope, without any relationship with God, without any eternal future. As Paul enumerated all the things that they were before Christ, he now comes to this point, letting them know their position, how Jesus, by his blood, has brought them near to God. So they were all that, enemies of God, but now in Christ. But now in Christ. But God has brought you near. Every obstacle on the path of God, every obstacle on the path of human being that made reconciliation impossible because of the blood was made possible. Hallelujah. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 8, Paul said that, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us who believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And this echoes the prophecy of Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verse 78 to 79. Zechariah prophesied about the Messiah to come when John the Baptist was taken to the temple for when he was born and he was taken to the temple to be blessed. Zechariah, out of the Spirit of God, said these words, that through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide their feet to the way of peace. Hallelujah. Those of us who once were in darkness, the world was in darkness, the day spring from on high dawned on the darkness of men and brought us into the light of God. The day spring from on high led our feet into the way of peace. And the way of peace was the way of the cross. God did this necessary work through Jesus by bringing you and I in a relationship with him. And we have peace. Praise the Lord. We have peace. We have peace in God because we have been reconciled with him by the blood of Jesus. And on this day, as we celebrate the Advent peace, it is all about Jesus. Amen. It is all about the Son of God who gave himself for us. But reconciliation, it's in two folds. Reconciliation did not only take place with God, but also with one another. As we read, Christ brought about eternal peace within the church, where every relationship, all relationships are redeemed beyond racial, ethnical, every division that you can think of. And as we read the Ephesians passage, we saw from verse 14 to 22 that Jesus has broken down the wall of separation. He abolished in his flesh the enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. And the band notes, this commentary I consulted gave Tyndale's rendition of the enmity that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles at that time. A great hostility, they had hatred for each other. And this is what it renders. The cause of hatred, that is to say, the law of commandment contained in the law written, that is expressive of the true sense. The idea is that the ceremonial law of the Jews, on which they so much prided themselves, was the cause of the hostility existing between them. That made them different people. They laid the foundation for alienation which existed between them. They had different laws, different institutions, a different religion. So the Jews look upon themselves as the favorites of heaven and as in possession of the knowledge of the only way to salvation. The Gentiles regarded their laws with contempt and looked upon the unique institution with scorn. When Christ came and abolished by his death their special ceremonial laws, of course, this alienation ceased. So when Christ came, the Jews, they knew themselves to be very special. They had the knowledge of God, they believed. And so to them, they were heaven's favorite. But when Jesus showed up, he abolished this division. And the hostility that was between the Jews and the Gentiles, he reconciled both groups by the cross of himself, the cross of Jesus, uniting both of us to God, the Jews and Gentiles, by the Holy Spirit. So on the cross that Jesus died, when he shed his blood, he brought us near to God by the blood. And now to us, who have been reconciled to God, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. As 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21 states, so to you and I, the gospel of peace has been committed to us. This gospel was preached by Jesus himself. And the gospel of peace is the good news that we have to the world. Hallelujah. The good news that we have for our families, our friends, our classmates, our neighbors. The good news that we have for the dying world. Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven his entire lifetime. And he commissioned his disciples to preach the message of reconciliation. And so this is the place you and I, we have been brought to. He's given us this ministry, and the ministry of reconciliation is to announce the message. And the message of what God, who was in Christ, has done for us. Hallelujah. Those already reconciled with Jesus, those already in this covenant with him, we have this ministry. And it is a beautiful thing when we share the love of God with other people. In fact, yesterday, it was just amazing. Last night, I don't know, I had mixed feelings because it was amazing. I missed home because back home in Ghana, I used to attend like a lot of Christian concerts. And here in Canada, I've not had that experience. So yesterday, it brought me so much memories. And what a way that a community, we could celebrate the love of God, you know, with others. And what a gift. As we sang the hymns and as we sang the carols and, you know, the band, it was just so amazing. And I kept thinking about this, you know, how awesome this is. And the fact that we could all come together in this place to worship. We could all come together in this place to lift up our hands. The blood made it so. Praise the Lord. And how beautiful scripture says, at the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace and bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation and announce to Zion that your God reigns. How wonderful it is when you and I bring the gospel that we want shalom to enter into the homes of people. We want the world to know about Jesus. We want the world to hear of him, because on this day, salvation entered the course of humanity. And the Son of God invaded our space. He lived among us. And he went to the cross, shed his precious blood that we will be reconciled with God. Praise the Lord. This is good news. And nothing pleases the heart of the Father when a sinner comes to the Lord. When someone gives their life to Jesus, for this reason, the Son of God came. He was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. He was made manifest to bring us from darkness into his light. He was made manifest that we can see the light of God. And so my prayer and my hope is that we will carry this message on. And so for me, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. It is to this end the peace of God reaches humanity. Praise the Lord. And so we will keep on without fear. We will not fail. We will not lose heart. Hallelujah. Because the world needs Jesus. The dying world needs Jesus. The problem is that we don't have him. If we know Jesus, if the world is to encounter true peace, all will be well. Hallelujah. And in saying this, I don't mean that, you know, once we have Jesus, we are excluded from difficulties. You and I know that. But one thing that the gospel does is that we have peace even in the midst of storms. Because the Holy Spirit of God, as we read, it is the Holy Spirit's working. He has brought us together. So we have been reconciled to God through Christ by the help of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is still helping us. Coming to Jesus, we encounter peace, inward peace. And this inner peace that we experience as believers, you know, is the kind of peace that gives us comfort and assurance in challenging moments. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer, take heart, because I have overcome the world. And in John 14, 27, he told his disciples, my peace I give you. I leave you with my peace. Not as the world gives you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace that Jesus gives is not as the world gives. The world's definition of peace, the absence of trouble. But the peace that Jesus gives us, in the midst of trouble, we can still have peace. So in one of the songs, Christ is my firm foundation, there is a line that says that I got joy in chaos. Peace that makes no sense. Peace that the world does not understand. And I think about this and I reflect on my own story, my own life. I've gone through things. I mean, I've had a lot of things come my way. And sometimes I ask myself that, Lord, I don't know where I would have been without you. The only thing I am still standing is because I know you. It's because I have the peace that surpasses all understanding. And Jesus is your peace. In the midst of all that you face, know that it is well. Hallelujah. I want to read to you. So I carried my prayer journal just to read to you one of the days I was going through a lot. I saw myself to be in a situation where it felt like, how am I going to get out of this? And the Lord took me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and Psalm 18, verse 16. And as I read this, I wrote out this prayer. And I think the Saturday we came to intercessory prayer, and then the Lord asked me to use that same scripture for the group. And so I read from Genesis 1:2, which says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering on the surface of the waters. And looking at the uncertainties with regards to my job security here in Canada, immigration issues, husband home in Ghana, what he's doing with work, and knowing that this journey that I am on, I so much believe that, God, you set us up on this journey. But why? And I go like this, dear Holy Spirit, would you hover over me and my husband and over our marriage in the midst of the darkness, the void, the formless? Would you bring order out of our chaos? Would you bring clarity? Would you speak your peace, your serenity in our confusion, our uncertainties and our fears? God, may you quicken our bodies, our minds, and our spirit to respond and to align to your will. Spirit of God, May you supernaturally resolve every challenging situation that we find ourselves in. Brought us to a place of your fulfillment, oh God. And create beauty, permanence, abundance, and joy immeasurable in the things that we face. And I want to believe that all of us, one way or the other, we find ourselves in situations. But friends, this is the good news. This is the good news. Be of good cheer. Your God has overcome the world. And he leaves us his profound peace with you. So in the midst of your chaos, he speaks his peace. The Holy Spirit of God is still hovering, bringing about peace, peace of mind to that situation. So take heart, for God is with you. As I conclude my message today, I want us to look at this season as we celebrate the peace of Advent. That the peace that in this season, the God of glory stepped into our history, reconcile us to himself and reconcile us to one another. And he has given us that ministry of reconciliation. And so we seek to make peace with other people. And we are intentional about gospel proclamation. Hallelujah. Because in it, the shalom of God, what the world needs, the shalom of God will enter their space and permeate every aspect of their lives. And so, I don't know for you, but as a way of reflection and as a way of prayer, in what areas in your life are you needing God to speak his peace over you? Where do you sense chaos? Where do you sense uncertainty? Where do you sense that God, I don't know how to come through this? And the truth is that I am still in that space. And I cannot wait to see what God will do with my life. And I believe that we are all in certain places like that. But the good news is that his peace is here. Peace is here. And we design these cards, and on each side, on the first side, we see this question: who are those in your life that you have to make peace with? I want us to spend a bit of time praying for those in our lives that we believe that we need to make peace with. And the other side of it too is that who are the people in your life who needs to experience God's salvation and know of his peace? Because this time we want to celebrate with our neighbors, our family, our friends. And together we will enjoy the shalom of God. As we remember that on this day, as God enters into our space, he brought peace into the world. And that peace is what humanity had longed for. And as Jesus was on the cross, he reconciled all men to God. The work is done. It is finished. So everyone who comes to him receives the salvation, no matter their sins. And so we want to pray for our families. We want to pray for our friends. We want to pray. I just want you to take a moment. As you close your eyes, if you have, you know, these cards, Sarah will pass around these cards with you. One side is people you are seeking reconciliation with. People you need to reconcile with at this time. And the other side is people that you are believing God. People in your life that must know Jesus. People in your life that must be reconciled to the Son of God. That must have this total ultimate peace with God. For this reason, Christmas. For this reason, peace. For this reason, what we are celebrating today. So the first one I want you to ask, as you reflect, who are those? You can take time, there is I think a bit of space around, so you can write their names if you can, and then you can put it in your Bible. The people in your life that you need to make peace with. Because on this day, God, creator of all things, came that you and I will be reconciled to him. I want you to take some time to just pray. We are first of all praying for the people that we need to reconcile. Someone in your life you may have to forgive. Someone in your life you may have to let go. But it's difficult. But thanks be to God, we cannot do this in our strength. The Holy Spirit will help us. He grants us the strength to do what we cannot do ordinarily. And I want you to turn to the other side. Who are the people in my life, in your life, who need to experience God's salvation and know his peace? We have hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. We have peace with God. So we can even stand in the midst of storms. That is the peace we want to bring to their heart. We want to bring Jesus to them. So you want to cry out to God. Would you save my brother? God, I'm desiring salvation for my sister, for my daughter, my son, my mom, my dad, my child. For this reason, God came to the flesh. For this reason, the Son of God was crucified. He died. He bled and died that he will make peace on the cross. By his blood. And so we bring the loss to you, Lord. As we celebrate your peace, may we know, may our family know, our friends know, our community know your peace. That men will be saved, Lord. And so, Jesus, we want to thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for a day and a time like this in history, that there was rejoicing in the heaven on earth because heaven's peace came down to reconcile us to God, one another, and the whole of creation. And so, Lord, it's our prayer. Our heart goes to the dying world, to the lost, to those who do not know you, who are still at odds with you. We cry out, Lord, that your saving grace will touch them on the highways and on the byways. My God, I pray that you will save them. May you cause our families, our friends, our community, our nation to experience your peace. We cry out salvation, O God, for everyone. Because for this reason, you came. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.